News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Was probably seen as heroic to be stumbling and, you know, getting back up when you felt unwell or you had dizziness or whatever. That mentality has changed, thankfully. But at the same time, you have to remember that most players' attitude is to never leave the pitch. So that's why the decision always has to be taken out of the individual's hand.
Unsafe attitudes towards concussion among non-professional rugby players is still prevalent in Ireland. A new study by UCC School of Medicine and Cork University Hospital revealed more than a third of players at school level, 35%, said they would play on with a headache from a minor concussion. We're joined by Alex Poppin, former Wales international, founder of the Head for Change charity. Alex, can I start by talking to you about that finding that over a third of players at school level said they would play on with a headache from a minor concussion? Your reaction to that?
It unfortunately doesn't surprise me at all. Since my diagnosis and setting up Head for Change, we've just piloted an education program and we're going around some schools and some clubs, and that's exactly the same message we're getting. Spoken to many players who wouldn't think twice about going back on the field, and this is where the biggest problem in all this lies. If we get that right with the younger generation, the mums and dads, the coaches, and understanding how serious this is, then we'll be in a lot better position come the future.
It was interesting as well, the study showed players much more likely in a schools game than in a club game to stay on the pitch. And interestingly, much more likely to stay on the pitch if it was, you know, a big game in inverted commas, a semi-final, for example, more likely to stay on the pitch in that scenario. Does that suggest we're getting our priorities wrong?
With regards to the schools, I think it's just such a difference in standards across the board with schools rugby. Some schools have got amazing coaches, amazing facilities, but then other schools haven't. And we've spoken through Head for Change to a number of teachers who've done their 2 hours of rugby in PGC in their training to become a teacher, a sports teacher, and then they're expected to take a rugby class. So, it just, that doesn't surprise me again.
The study also showed up that while players were knowledgeable about concussion, there was a significant knowledge gap in some areas, including CTE, the progressive brain disease linked to repeated concussion. Does that again, does that surprise you, players being unaware, for example, about CTE and that repeated hits, repeated concussions could lead to this?
Well, until World Rugby make the link and agree there isn't a link, that's the problem that we've got. They're not being honest with people regarding this. And until that day comes, and obviously there's a legal case going on, and I think if they admit that link and how long that link has been known, and that opens a can of worms up for them legally. So they're not being honest, so they're not educating people on this. There's many other contact sports around the world. There's a film called Concussion that I would highly recommend, and that was with the NFL, where this all kicked off in the early 2000s, and they now, as a sport, know and admit the link, but rugby still hasn't, so we're way behind other sports.
Another finding in relation to CTE was that some players believed wearing a scrum cap could stop you getting developing CTE, again, which does point to a lack of understanding about what concussion actually involves.
Yeah, exactly. A scrum cap will help with cauliflower ears or cuts, abrasions, things like that. But the brain still smashes against the skull inside. So no matter what you wear on the outside, it's not going to protect the brain, unfortunately. And again, it's the education needs to be ramped up, and that's what we're, as a charity, putting together and looking to roll out in the autumn this year. But it's down to a charity to educate these clubs and schools, and not the governing bodies, which is disgusting, really.
Is rugby doing enough? to educate people?
Not at all. Well, they're not being honest to start with, that every contact, and it doesn't have to necessarily have the head involved, is still causing damage to the brain. Even if somebody's hitting the chest at force, their brain will, in a whiplash movement, cause a bleed, a small bit of damage to that brain. And until we're honest with those facts, we can move forward. But they're a long way off.
The data also showed players, again, this won't surprise you, players intentionally avoiding seeking medical attention after a suspected concussion. Do you think the action of Gary Ringrose in the recent second test, where he voluntarily took himself out of the game because he knew he had symptoms of concussion, you would hope that would get across a message to players at schools level, wouldn't you, and at amateur level, that this isn't something you mess around with? If you can take yourself out of the biggest game of your life, well, then there's no game too big enough not to take yourself out of.
Yeah, that was a huge call, and one that I'm really proud of Gary for doing that. The exposure, the media attention that got is good for this problem. Gary's obviously, I think he's got a medical family around him who are well knowledge, and unfortunately not everybody has that. It was great for him to do that in the biggest game, but there's most probably, I wouldn't want to say how many thousands of times this has happened, that players haven't done that because they want to play in that game. They're fighting for their next contract, and it shouldn't be down to the player. All the protocols to return to play in the professional game are player-led on how they're feeling, and most of the players will say they're fine to get back on the field. And that's where we need some protocols, some hard black and white evidence that players have a scan, an EEG, something in pre-season when their brain is rested. And then if and when they have a head injury in season, they don't return until it hits that normal level. It's too varied at the moment, and all player-led, which shouldn't be the way.
Okay, we will leave it there. Alex Popham, thank you indeed. Former Welsh international, founder of the Head for Change charity. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning. Ciara, really interesting from Alex there. I mean, this survey is alarming because the message it has been out there for some time. We know about concussion. We know if you get a symptom, you have to come off straight. It's the second hit that can really cause the problems.
Even as you say that, the second hit, I'm cringing when you think of those little kids. I mean, little kids, like they could be 15. I'm just about
6'5".
Still, they're kids. And the earlier and the younger you get these kind of head injuries, the more significant and problematic that they can be in the long term. I'm not surprised by this insofar as that I think it takes a very long time to change attitudes and to change culture and for people to really absorb this kind of level of information. But this is really important. I do suspect that lots of people like coaches and refs and all do know this, but it's obviously not filtering through to the kids themselves, the school boys and girls themselves. Or to the extent that it needs to.
Don't want to listen. I mean,
I suspect that it's
the survey shows players deliberately not avoiding the treatment because they know they'll have to come off.
But I suspect that young people don't think about the consequences.
They don't.
When you're 14,
you don't think I might have
a problem when I'm 45. Do you know what I mean?
You absolutely think you're invisible. The bottom line, there's no game of rugby, no game of GAA, no game of football that is more important than
and people
than
are making the case and text into us about young people heading footballs, you know, at junior level in soccer, and that has been shown to also have an issue, and that hasn't been addressed either. Any kind of head injury, whether it's from boxing, whether it's from GAA, whether it's from rugby, whether it's from American football, or whether it's from soccer, these are all issues, and I think we're only getting our head around it now.
Dara,
if you forgive the
Cork has gotten touched in. I played school rugby at a pretty competitive level from the late 90s to the mid noughties. Concussion always felt like the elephant in the room. Back then, kids would regularly take knocks to the head during games or training, but without proper understanding, would just play on and not tell coaches. I suffered migraines and dizziness well into my 20s. It was only after seeing a consultant I learned it was likely down to near 10 years of repeated head contact. I appreciate that there's far more knowledge about concussion now, but it has to be drilled into kids from day one. No exceptions. Coaches can only do so much from the sideline. Players themselves need to recognise the symptoms, understand the risks, and feel confident speaking up without fear of being berated by teammates. It's getting better from what I hear, but it's still a huge concern. Parents with kids who want to play contact sport these days, says Dara.
Really interesting text. But I think the key in that text that Dara sent is players need to recognise this and understand the risks and feel confident about not being berated by teammates. That's much harder to do when you're 13. Do you know what I mean? Good morning. I'm the games master of a rugby playing school. Your piece about rugby players wanting to play on a concussion is slightly concerning, but I want to assure listeners that referees are ultra safe now. The slightest hint of head contact and the player is removed. In almost every case, the slightest head bang is reported as concussion, even when that isn't the case. Safety is paramount. Coaches are also exceptionally aware of concussion and don't want to take any chance that a young player will be suffering symptoms. Coaches will remove a player if it's missed by a referee. Rugby has a very strict set of rules which run to player protocols. It's far superior in this instance to other sports. The event that a player does get a concussion, the 3-week recovery period is the safest in any sport. That is correct, and thank you for the text, Games Master.
Alex Popham would not agree with that text.
But what I was going to say is that's correct and well done and all of that, and you're, I'm sure, bang on. But this survey shows that a third of kids, young kids, at school level, when they have a head injury that is resulting in a headache, so then they have symptoms, are not coming off themselves. So either it's being missed by the coaches and missed by the referees, or hidden by the kids. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening. So it's not safe enough.
Let us know what you think about it all. Would you have concerns about your kid playing rugby? Is concussion a major issue? Or is rugby doing enough to deal with it? Alex Popham certainly thinks rugby, and he's a former rugby international, is not doing enough to deal with this. Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.